Uncle You. This is Dusty Geezer coming at you live from the jam-packed, sold-out house that he lives in for the time being, until the government takes it away. And I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Jordan, a.k.a. Big Round Wizard. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Just got done watching some St. Louis wrestling again. Woohoo!
Nice. How's the baseball game coming?
Fuck. Yeah, it was 7-2. It was 7-2 Tigers last I saw. So Mays can go suck it, and you know, Morneau's gonna weep into his pillow for hours tonight. Maurer, whatever his name is now.
Yep.
So, yep.
But,
now it's time to talk about wrestling. That's why I was watching St. Louis wrestling from 25 years ago. Somehow less depressing.
Right, exactly. I was watching a Nitro from the Golden Era. So we are watching good wrestling.
Yes.
Instead of talking about the bad wrestling that's going on in current times.
God, did you see the rating for Raw?
It's down.
3-1. Yep.
Are we ready to admit that the guest GM thing is a failure and move on?
Probably not, because they're going to blame it on each individual GM, you know.
Right.
And not the fact that it's a really stupid idea and it's turned Raw from any kind of semblance of a wrestling show to an entertainment variety show. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine once, but every week is the same thing.
Yeah. Well, every week it's the guest GM comes out and there's some stupid comedy thing, maybe. Chris Jericho interacts with him in some way, maybe. And it's
right.
All crap, and Hornswoggle takes on Chavo again, probably. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's
just stupid, and they're going to have, you know, I mean, they'll peak at weeks, like when The Rock hosts in a few weeks,
what it
sounds like he's going to do, and it'll, like, Roethlisberger might get some attention, but there's the Monday Night Football game with Favre playing against the Packers, so that isn't going to get a good rating either.
And that's going to be Roethlisberger's fault somehow.
Yeah, exactly. It's never WWE's fault, or the fact that it's Orton versus Cena and DX versus Legacy for the 84th time in a row.
Oh.
So, yep. So.
The next audio that we do, I kind of want to talk about that.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I just kind of got off on a tangent because the last couple have just been so god-awful that I just couldn't handle it anymore.
that's fine. I think everybody's with you on that one, man. I really do.
God. Yeah.
But we're going to talk about more positive things.
Yay!
A very special episode highlighting the tournament currently going on our wonderful, fabulous, totally free message board. You can go to it. There's links all over the place if you haven't signed up already. When I'm done with the audio, I'll add a link to the message board on the most recent post I made on stuntgranny.com. So, if you haven't already registered, do that right now.
Yes, do it. I highly recommend it. It's fantastic.
But in the tournament zone, we are running a best pay-per-view ever tournament, and we are down to the Elite Eight, or the Egotistical Eight.
Egotistical Eight. I think that was a name of a TNA episode one week.
That's the number of people they add per week to the
to the main event mafia, or to the list of people not watching their shows. Oh, wait, that's
right.
800. Yeah, so.
Yep. Right, well, just go down this one by one, I guess. And the first matchup is WrestleMania 3, which I wrote this information down. It was in 1987 from the Pontiac Silverdome in Michigan.
In front of 842,000 people?
According to ProWrestlingHistory.com, 78,000.
I was watching, there was an Andre the Giant biography on the Biography Channel today, and you could tell WWF supplied him with all their information because they said 96,000 even.
96,000. No one's ever going to know the exact number. I have a feeling
nope.
It's close to the 78.
Well, yeah, and Andre was 7'5", so that worked.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Also, closed circuit television drew another 441,000 fans.
Unbelievable.
And it had an 8.0 buy rate, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
Insane. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to fathom now nowadays.
Yeah, that's never going to happen in this day and age.
No, I mean, they're lucky if they pull a 0.8 on a really good pay-per-view. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, and its competition in this round of eight is King of the Ring 2001, which was live from the Continental Airlines Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Drew a reported 17,777 fans and got a 0.84 buy rate.
There you go. Huh. Yeah, that's... we'll talk about that one when we get there.
Okay.
It's really the one-man show, and even then, I don't know how good of a show it really was, but...
Well,
yeah.
It was a good show, but I don't think it's...
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, like, good compared to the others. You know, seven we're going to talk about.
Right.
So, should we just start? What should we do?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't really plan this out that well, but that doesn't mean that's what I'm talking about. Well, who would you vote for out of those two? I think you've already...
I kind of, you know, it's kind of sacrilegious, but I kind of think three is overrated a little bit because there is so much filler. There's two, well, there's one great match, one really important match, and a bunch of, you know, Lord Littlebrook type matches, Little Beaver, King Kong Bunny type things. But compared to compared to King of the Ring 2001, which I like, but I don't think it's one of the best pay-per-views ever. I would go with three.
Yeah.
Just for sheer importance. Really, King of the Ring didn't do a whole lot importance-wise. It had some important moments, because that was when Booker T showed up for the first time with the WCW belt.
Yep.
But ultimately, what did that lead to? him teaming with Shane McMahon against The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
So. How about you?
I've been trying to think of an album to compare the two. I'm drawing a blank right now, but it's like WrestleMania 3 is akin to an album that has a lot of filler songs in it. But the songs that are really good, you know, are like great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some great songs on the WrestleMania 3 album, but there's also some filler that you have to sit through in order to get to it.
Right. And I think... Ultimately, it is worth it, though. Those songs are so epic that you just can't, you know.
Oh,
you
yeah.
just you find yourself listening to the album anyways, so.
Exactly.
Yep, that's a good analogy.
You have possibly the best match work rate wise ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there. I don't think it is the best, but it's up there.
No, it's definitely up there, and there wasn't anything in WWF like that for years before or years after.
Mm-hmm.
So many near falls, just great, simple, effective storytelling.
Oh, yeah, like at the end, you're on the edge of your seat, you know? Is this
yeah,
it?
Oh, definitely.
Did you get him there? No? What? You know?
Right.
So he got that quality-wise, one of the best matches ever. And then you also have on this card just the best match ever in terms of draw, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean,
the numbers speak for themselves. Hogan versus Andre just drew better.
Right.
That was
Vince's philosophy, that match was going to sell the pay-per-view and everything else was just going to be another match.
Yeah.
And you know, can't argue with the success of that. The spectacle, that was the first time WrestleMania really hit it big time. Like, the sea of humanity. And kind of the last time for a few years, too, but it was just unbelievable. Just the crowd shots and the opening of seeing Vince, you know, welcome everybody to WrestleMania in the sea of humanity it's just incredible. It's a spectacle in every way.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like being at Woodstock, you know, it's something you carry with you forever.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And, you know, watching wrestling, when I started watching, you know, in 93, they couldn't draw a tenth that most of places. So when I first started getting into tapes, to see that was just blew my mind. It was incredible. And it still is. That's a, you know, 93, 78. It's all impressive.
It's all you.
Yep.
No, okay, you said the one-man show for King of the Ring 2001. Talk to me about that one.
Okay. That's Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle at his, I guess he's still in his prime, and he's got a few more good months before all hell breaks. Well, I guess about two more years before his neck just finally gives out on him. But this was, you know, he was in the King of the Ring tournament, and if I recall, he faced Christian in the first round, right?
Yep, he beat Christian in 8-7, according to Wikipedia.org, my favorite website.
Yes, I use it for all my paper writing needs. He's in the King of the Ring. That was the first. No, was that the first year they did the four? Man, yeah, they didn't go with the full King of the Ring tournament. They just did the semifinals and then the finals on the pay per view. Yeah, which I didn't like, but I'm a fan of tournaments, but I understand why they did that. But it was, going into that, there was so much speculation over who should win King of the Ring. Is Angle going to win it again? There was no real clear cut who's going to get the push. And it was kind of weird because Edge and Christian and Rhino had been, you know, kind of cavorting, and then Edge, Christian, and Angle had been too. So it was just kind of, it was a four heel tournament, basically. And so then you had Edge, well, because they were going to turn Edge, but then Edge beat Rhino. And then and then later, not even like in the main event, just sort of buried in the middle, Edge beats Angle. So that was Angle.
Angle in about 10 minutes.
Yep, and that was the second match. And then Angle had had a gold medal ceremony a few weeks before, and that's when Shane interrupted the first WCW, like, guy, you know, I think he came out in his car and then interrupted, and the Angle slam off the podium, I think, was what led into that, into the confetti. And then, so Angle had a third match that night, and it was, I'm trying to think of the right word, a car wreck, filled with some Foley-esque spots, and some spots even stupider than Foley would do.
Right.
Oh, God. Just brawling up and down. I think the spot that always sticks with me is the trying to throw Shane through the glass King of the Ring logo on the, or I guess it's like a paneling underneath the Titantron. Right. Tries to throw him through once, Shane lands on his head. Tries to throw him through, do an angle fire belly to belly overhead. First time he just smacked that thud the first time I saw that. Oh. So they try it again and it doesn't work. Then he just throws him through it. Oh, God, and the blood. I think by the end, Shane had a bunch of stitches. Kurt broke his tailbone, all for really nothing. I don't think it...
But ultimately, it led to nothing.
Right.
That's an important point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was the year they were already kind of getting devastated by injuries. And the last thing they needed was one of their biggest stars doing stupid shit in a match that really ultimately led nothing. Because even after, later in that night, Benoit, it's his last match because he hurts his neck in the triple threat main event with Jericho, Benoit, and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, it's like an IR ward, you know, by the end, emergency ward. So I don't know how what that ultimately did, but screw them more, even more so for the invasion angle.
Yeah, exactly. Angle they were already fucking up, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And Austin's banged up by that point, and it was, you know, I don't know. It's entertaining to watch, and, you know, not in the complete opposite of the spectacle sort of way. Like some of those ECW pay-per-views where it's just like a big car wreck.
You know, it is. It's like the best ever ECW pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's basically what this show is.
Because a lot of matches didn't make sense, didn't have the greatest build leading up to it.
Right.
Jericho and Benoit were the tag champs up until, I think, 2 days before, and then they lost it to the Dudleys on SmackDown 3 days before, whatever.
Oh, sudden the Dudleys are thrown into a title match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that match again? Remind me if you have it in front of you.
Against Kane and Spike.
Oh, God. Wow, yep. Yep. You could tell they weren't doing very well. This is right in the, I think, either the very end of XFL or, you know, the XFL ship had just barely sunk. So
Right. There's
a lot going on, and you could tell they're not paying attention to the booking going into all that.
Mm-hmm. Every time Vince tries something different, it always fails.
Right.
WBF, XFL, whatever. It always fails.
The war, WWF New York. What else? What else we got? Yeah. So WWF or WWE Films or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then every time he tries something like that, not only does that fail, but then the in-ring product fails because his mind is elsewhere.
Right. Exactly.
Why get that, you know?
Stick to what you're good at.
I have to teach you this lesson, old man.
And I heard that Linda's got 30 million earmarked for her campaign. So prepare for more disaster coming from that front too.
Well, that's going to be bought and paid for by the stockholder scam.
Yeah, oh, I know. Wonderful. Just great. It's going to be fantastic stuff. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's night and day. The King of the Ring isn't even the best pay-per-view of 2001, let alone one of the best pay-per-views of all time. So,
how it got this far, probably just because of the result of matchups being in their favor, but the road ends now.
Yes, it should in every way. I mean, WrestleMania is WrestleMania, so it's always got that going for it where they make it a spectacle, but that was the first one that was...
Yeah.
You know, the biggest deal there is.
Really let you know what WrestleMania could be, you know? Like, it's...
Especially coming off, because they could have gone in a bad direction coming off of 2, which was not good at all.
Oh, no, I can't sit through 2. I really can't.
No, I can't either. I've seen it like 2 or 3 times, because it's just, you know... And that's nothing compared to some of the other pay-per-views I've watched, but
yeah.
I get usually, like, to George Steele versus Macho Man, and I'm just like, okay, this is enough of this crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really think that's why there's still a WWE today. It's because of WrestleMania 3. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we both agree WrestleMania 3 moves on there.
Yep.
Now let's move on to poll number 2, which... Speaking of 2001, this is the best show 2001 in my house of humble, WrestleMania 17 from the Houston Astrodome. It drew 67,900 fans and a 2.4 buy rate.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, its opponent here in this matchup is Great American Bash 1989. Which stands alone as the sole NWA WCW pay-per-view left. That was from Baltimore, Maryland. Got 12,500 fans and a 1.5 buy rate.
So you start us off on this one. Which one did you pick?
Well, I haven't picked yet. Like,
yeah, I haven't either.
I don't reveal my pick until we do this. So
okay.
But
well,
I'm going with this. Okay. This was my favorite modern day WrestleMania. In many ways, just awesome and everything that WrestleMania should be about. However, the Great American Bash is like the perfect example of a great wrestling pay-per-view, you know?
Right.
Like an anti-WWF show.
Right.
Where it's just good matches and interesting stuff and not gimmicks, chimps on ice and all that stuff. So
this is
a real tough one for me. If I had to choose, and I do, I'll probably go with WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning to. just because I think after that, the expectation is it kind of started being lowered for a minute, and then they bought WCW that week, so then everything got got kind of crazy, and it's amazing. They really, it really is the last show of the Attitude Era that really, I guess, well, maybe you can say Invasion, because that, but it's the last really WWF show before they purchased, I mean, they bought WCW, but they didn't have enough chance to do anything or really get distracted by it because it had just been a week before. So I really think it's the last great big Attitude Era show, and it might be the last great big show we've had in a while. So, or a solid card.
Awesome.
Yep, you've got the three ring circus, which I like. You know, you've got your gimmick battle royal, which is all comedy. It's all for the entrances. It sucks, but it's just, you know, just to see Kamala on a pay per view, or you know, Kimchi or the Gobbledygooker or whatever. Then you've got TLC 2, which is, I mean, just spots left and right. I mean, it was incredible. Those guys upped it from the first one, which was great. Then you've got Rock Off. Yeah, go ahead.
This is as good as it gets for, you know, that kind of a match. And
yeah,
this is the heyday of tag teams in wrestling also.
Mm-hmm.
These are three of the best tag teams ever, maybe. So.
Right. And having them go at it, and just I'll never forget the spot where Jeff's hanging from the belt hooks, and Edge spears him, and you just see the opposite side, like 20,000 people just stand up all at once.
Oh,
it's just unbelievable. I mean, again, goes back to that spectacle thing, but and you've got Undertaker and Triple H, which is just a brawl. But it's got the brawling, it's got the wrestling, because it had Angle and Benoit, it had the tag teams, it has Rock Austin, which is Rock Austin, you know? I mean, it's got, it's even got the McMahon match, which had no business being entertaining, but it was one of my favorite matches on that, because it's all smoke and mirrors.
Dog and Pony Show done right.
I mean,
Vince
it...
Vince deserves credit, Vince and Shane, really. Credit for being great performers.
Yes, and they pulled
all time.
They pulled that one out. I mean, they had to use Stephanie and Trish and Linda and Mick Foley, but it all worked, and the crowd was eaten up, and Shane Van Terminator at the end got that crowd just rocking. And so, you know, it's just, it has, for me, it has everything you'd want on a goofy show, on WrestleMania.
They put some work right in there. Jericho versus Regal, Angle versus Benoit.
I love the Raven Big Show Kane match too.
Yeah,
on the just goofy. I mean, you know, but it had everything, and it was just that was one of their best rosters, because they started getting the ECW guys, but hadn't totally watered it down with the Hugh Morris's and, you know, stuff, such of the world. So it had, because Rhino and Spike interfere in the ladder match, same with Lita. I mean, it's just, it's all smoke and mirrors, and but it's exactly how WrestleMania should be.
Oh yeah, it's something for everyone on this show. And it's really the perfect blend. So
I think the only misstep they took that entire night, which was kind of a big one, was turning Austin heel in Texas.
Turning Austin heel in his hometown and the WCW signing, that was the beginning of the end.
Yep.
But
agreed.
The show on its own, though, great.
Yep. If you don't think about what came before the stupid stuff leading up to it and the stupid stuff after, if we're just judging show and not what it led to, this is probably my favorite show of them all.
Agreed.
But I do love Great American Bash as well. But
it deserves a lot of credit for being awesome. It has It has something for everyone too, in a lot of ways. Flair versus Funk. That's awesome.
Great match. Great match. Flair at
prime.
Maybe his pay-per-view best. Yeah, what did you say, Luger in his prime?
Luger in his prime versus Steamboat, absolutely.
Yep. God, that's... Man, I love that funk. I mean, I love the funk build-up to the Flair match. I love, you know, it was just... Flair in those... From what, February to July of 89 is something else.
Oh,
and we could, you know, everybody's talking about Flair Steamboat 100 times, so I won't go into that, but
right.
But that Funk Steamboat.
They seem to forget the Funk program, which was really
right.
Good, just in a different way.
And you never saw a guy get pile driven on a table in 1989, ever.
No.
And, of course, he was called middle-aged and crazy in
1989. Right. I was just going to say that. He was old then.
I know.
And he's still hanging on, but God bless
him. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that speech where he attacked Flair at the end. That was great. Very memorable. And this match was fantastic as well. Two totally different styles of workers.
Yes. But knew the bare bones. I mean, knew how to, you know, the basic aspect of telling a good in-ring story. And
yep.
Their styles may have clashed, but they certainly, I mean, Funk could Matt wrestle, not very well in 1989, but he could do a Flair match and Flair could do a Funk match. So
exactly.
And it's compared to what WWF was running in 89, it's something else. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Because what is that? What is that? July of 89, right?
It was, yeah, July 23rd, 1989.
Okay. And so what, a month later, WWF runs Zeus and Hogan.
Bruce Beefcake in the main event.
Hogan! Beefcake Barber, yep.
Beefcake Barber!
Yep. So, I mean, well, it was NWA at the time. It was, you know, it's got something. It still holds up, and the matches still hold up because they're good, simple matches. Don't need a lot of 1998 gimmickry to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one reason in WCW's favor. Is that they were just no nonsense. Here's some wrestling matches.
Right.
And there's something to be said about that style too.
Right. They generally, it's kind of like we were talking about with TNA. It's like the pay-per-views were just wrestling because they couldn't screw it up with their other bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no ding-dongs on this pay-per-view. There's no dynamic dudes, you know. I mean, just ugh. So, yeah.
For as good as Wrestle War was, Wrestle War had the dynamic dudes on it. So,
did they carry their skateboards to the ring with them?
They sure did, because they like surfing and skateboarding and all kinds of things that those young kids do.
In their pink and green trunks and throwing frisbees to the crowd sometimes. Oh, man. And
Let's
go ahead.
Buddy up with a half-interested 7-year-old and make the hang loose sign with him. That sounds good, huh? Really get
and
over
one of the,
Sonny.
And one of those dynamic dudes is head of WWE, his VP of Talent Relations. Jesus Christ. And the other's the franchise. Oh, wait, no, it isn't. No, but still.
He's working for the Target franchise right now.
Yes, exactly. So, yep.
All right, so I believe we have another consensus here, WrestleMania 17.
Yep.
Okay. We will move on to two pay-per-views that are 10 years apart. The first one being the Royal Rumble 1992, which took place from the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York. Drew 17,000 people and had a 1.8 buy rate. And its opposition is SummerSlam 2002, also from New York, this time Uniondale. About 15,000 people and 1.0 buy rate. So your thoughts on?
Oh man, this one's a little tougher, because I mean I like Super or SummerSlam 2002, but I don't know. I mean, I think I'm gonna pick it over the Rumble. Although I think the Royal Rumble 1992 is the greatest match and greatest commentary of an hour that has ever taken place ever. But the rest of the card is. Isn't there Bushwhackers and Beverly Brothers on there?
Yeah. I think that match is still taking place, actually.
great.
Forever.
I know. There was a lot of time killing, and that was where it was supposed to be Bret Hart and Mountie, and then Hitman didn't come, so it ended up being Mountie and Piper, and it's just, like, really.
103-degree temperature. I've had a 300-degree temperature, and I've wrestled.
Oh, Heenan is so fucking great in that pay-per-view. Oh, my God. And even a couple times you could tell Gorilla's just trying not to laugh. I mean, it's just... Oh, would you be serious? SummerSlam.
Hot dog. I know just how you like it. Heavy on the onion. Oh, you're staying right here. You're not going anywhere.
I get it. Oh, my God. I mean, and how many times have we both watched Royal Rumble 92? I mean, I can't even count.
I've got Royal Rumble 92 IV and into my body constantly.
don't expect Greg the Hammer Valentine to get to your veins anytime soon. He's still not even in the ring yet.
Oh, God, he's warming up yet.
Yep. But SummerSlam. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going with Rumble while we're on the topic. I'll just throw it out there. Because it is the best match ever, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the best performance by an announcer and an announced team.
Yeah.
Hello? Gorilla was good too, dummy.
Gorilla, yeah. Gorilla needed to be there. If it's just Heenan and Schiavone or whatever, then
right.
Watching those old WCW, you realize, you know, Heenan's great, but he wasn't as good without Gorilla playing off of him. You need the straight man to the goofy.
Schiavone didn't get it.
No, he wouldn't respond to the jokes. He would just like, oh, is that right? And it's like, instead of the would you be serious or what have you.
Right. Exactly. He'd just shake his head or something. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, say something back to him. It takes
no.
Tango. And I'm not talking about the last tango in Paris. I'm talking about good announcers. And this performance by Heenan was a masterpiece, but it wouldn't have been without Gorilla. So.
Well, and the match itself as a rumble is beautifully booked. It's beautifully just laid out, the whole thing. Flair doesn't sit in the corner for 20 minutes like some of these guys who start at 1 and 2.
Right.
He faces everybody that comes in the ring. After DiBiase and Bulldog to start, and then it's just him and everybody else from then on out. And it's a great cast in that match too. I don't think there's ever been a rumble with that many great just stars.
And that's
so,
why I'll gladly take the trade off of a mediocre opening couple matches if you can get a star studded event in the main event, you know?
Well, and they did a great job of making the Intercontinental title seem important. Piper wins it, but Piper's in the Rumble for a long time, too.
Yep.
It's, you know, you've got the whole thing, the only problem I've ever had was Hogan getting eliminated by Sid and doing the biggest heel move ever by complaining about it in an every-man-for-himself battle royal. And
yeah.
I've seen the original, like, you know, the pay-per-view aired version where the crowd's booing Hogan because he's acting like a baby.
Exactly. Like a heel there. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because he's whining because he got thrown out by his friend. But if he would done it to Sid, he would have been like, ooh, that's just a match. You know, I mean, that's always, I always thought that was funny. But really, I mean, it's hard to argue that isn't one of my favorite pay-per-views, too. I need to, now I'm kind of going back to the Royal Rumble 92 side, because SummerSlam, we need to kind of go over that a little bit, because it might not be remembered by a lot of people.
I was just going to say, you were leaning towards SummerSlam. Tell me why.
Well, I just remember, I mean, I guess at the time, I remember more than one match is probably why. When we were just going based off of, like, the first thing that popped into my head. I remember that was Ray's first match. Well, it looked like a different Ray. It was the second Ray, the one that lived on an island with the first Ultimate Warrior. weighed about 200 pounds, 200 pounds compared to the 110-pound Ray we saw before.
I heard a conspiracy theory that Ray was replaced.
Yep, he was. He was replaced by the first Warrior. I'm going to start that rumor now. I just remember, and Kurt Angle in his popcorn outfit looked like a giant box of popcorn. It was a really good opening match, but the more I that was the opener, right, if I recall?
Yep.
Okay. Well, go through some of the other matches. I remember Brock and Rock. Those are the only two I remember now that I think about it.
Yep, that ended the show with Brock beating Rock.
So I remember the first and the last one, but I guess the middle is kind of left out.
Okay, well, we'll run through it here real quick.
Okay.
Second match was Flair over Jericho. And then Edge over Eddie Guerrero. And then Lance Storm and Christian over Booker and Goldust.
Wow.
Van Dam over Chris Benoit. Undertaker over Test. And Michaels over Triple H. Now, there's only one dud.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
I forgot. I don't know why I was blanking on the Michaels Triple H, but really, that's the match. That's an epic match.
Yeah.
But
yep.
When you ran through that card, I immediately just thought Royal Rumble 92.
the two matches you talked about plus Michaels and Triple H.
Yes.
I think a strong case for this.
Yeah, I know. Once you, I just totally blanked on the Michaels Triple H, which is one of my favorites for whatever reason. I was thinking it was either the SummerSlam before or after. But yeah, that's, I mean, and especially because we didn't know what we were going to get out of Shawn Michaels because it'd been 4+ years since we'd seen him.
Yeah.
They were all part of NWO together until Nash blew his quad walking across the ring. And then, you know, then they reformed DX for 1 week, and then that's when Hunter attacked him. Well, he was attacked, and then that led to the Hunter angle. But I just didn't know what we were going to get out of Shawn, if he was going to be sober,
right.
If his back was going to hold up, what we were going to get. But that was a great match.
Oh,
great, great match. And Brock and Rock, all I remember is the crowd.
I remember it had a great build-up.
Yes, it did.
They showed the training videos.
Oh, man, with Brock running up the hill with the big log on his shoulder. I still remember that. That was a great – that was – people weren't – you know, up until then, you still heard a lot of Goldberg chants at Lesnar.
Yeah.
I don't think people were totally into it yet. But that night was the night the WWF, well, no, it was E at that time, realized they had it right. Because the crowd had turned on Rock, like they do in every big-time main event, it seems like.
This is kind of depressing, I should say. Because we were talking about WrestleMania in 2001 being the beginning of the end.
Uh-huh.
Well, this obviously took place after it. And it just shows what they could have done in 2002 and beyond if they had put their focus into it. So, in a way, really depressing to think about.
Right, because this is a year and a half later, and it's a great show, and it's a completely different one than that took place, you know, a year and a half earlier. It's not like now, if we look a year and a half ago, I bet you one of the main events is some form of Hunter versus Cena or Cena versus Orton or blah, blah, blah. You could tell they were trying to go in a new direction after the disaster of the invasion angle. And they brought in Ray because that was his first pay-per-view, and they were kind of starting, you know, this was when they were finally getting, they realized they had to push Lesnar. Because things were, you know, because Rock was leaving, Austin had quit by this point because of the Brock King of the Ring thing.
Right.
So it was kind of out of necessity, and it turned out, you know, this was the last Glory Day, because wasn't it right after this when Brock wins the title that Bischoff just can't, I think it's what, the night after that Heyman and Lesnar go to SmackDown for good?
Yeah, yep.
And then that leads to Bischoff just giving the world title to Hunter, leading to the worst title reign ever.
Right.
Well, yeah, well, all in all, because Shawn wins it back, but yeah. So,
yeah, that's pretty lousy, just creating a title.
Yeah.
The only reason that was any good was because it fit Bischoff's character. I love Bischoff's character at this time, so that's my only argument for it. It's totally
right.
A thing that a character would do.
But again, I have to keep remembering, I keep reminding myself of this too. We got to base it on what happened at the show and not what it led to. Because ultimately, I want to get
more garbage.
Yeah. I want to get mad at the show for what happened after, but it wasn't that show's fault. It was what happened after's fault.
Yeah, this show's just minding its own business, man. It'll
leave So what we've got is a classic match and two good matches versus one of the best matches ever, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we both have pretty big stinkers.
Right.
Because Undertaker versus Test was just,
God. And that was the You're Not My Real Father Undertaker, as I called him, where he looked like a sullen teenager in his crew cut and his hoodie. And
Yeah.
So, this is my yard or whatever the hell he was saying. So, yeah, I got to go with Rumble.
Undertaker.
Hey, and he said that again.
So you changed your mind? Then you're going with the
Rumble. No. Well, I just needed. I went on first instinct, but I'm going with Rumble.
Well, that's why we're talking about here. We're helping.
Yeah, that's why some of these last two I need to talk through. So
talking it out for you and me's sake, and for everyone else who's listening.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay.
Yep.
So we will move on then to poll number 4.
This is the hardest one.
This is a great matchup.
Yes, it is.
WrestleMania 19 from Seattle, Washington, Safeco Field, which I was actually at.
So was I.
At WrestleMania. I was
at. So was I.
Safeco is awesome. It's like the
best
ballpark you could ever want to be in.
Oh, and I love the sushi stands and how, you know, it's completely different. It's great. I loved it.
You can get sushi, pizza, whatever you want. Just walk around. You know.
Great.
Amazing atmosphere.
Man, yeah, that was something else. That was quite the... But, again, what it faced, talk about atmosphere.
All right, so WrestleMania 19, 54,097 fans.
March 30th, 2003. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
1.08 by rate. And that's facing off against Canadian Stampede in 1997, live from Calgary, Alberta. 12,151 fans, 0.59 buy rate.
Wow. Okay, you start us off on this one.
Well, okay, you want to talk about atmosphere. The crowd is fucking nuclear for the Canadian Stampede main event.
I still get chills watching that, like just watching how nuts the crowd is.
And they're that way pretty much through the whole card.
All in anticipation of the main event.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're respecting everything and like sitting on their hands, yeah.
Right, exactly. And you can say, oh, there's only 4 matches on the pay-per-view, because this is when they were still doing the 2-hour pay-per-views in between the big ones.
Right.
And I would say, yeah, that leaves less room for stupid shit like Undertaker versus Test.
Right.
You got four good matches here. So
go through the whole card just to kind of remind people, because I think people might remember the main event, but if you have the other three matches.
Well, the free-for-all, not on the pay-per-view, was the Godwins over the Blackjacks, which was fine, whatever.
Right, good for a free-for-all.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Mankind versus Triple H, which I believe ended in a double countout.
Right, which led to the cage match at SummerSlam.
Yep, which is awesome. Good booking there.
Yep.
This is 1997, so Russo is still a good booker at this point.
Yep, because he has a fact checker, a second voice.
Exactly. And then the man whose name got butchered in a million different ways, Great Sasuke, defeats Taka Michinoku in 10 minutes.
Wow.
A classic light heavyweight matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker over Vader to retain the world title.
Right.
This was probably the worst thing that happened, but it was still very good.
Yep.
Hard-hitting kind of thing. And then the main event, which is just unreal. The Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Jim Neidhart, British Bulldog, and Brian Pillman, defeat Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Goldust, and the Legion of Doom.
Unbelievable.
This is a match very well executed, and taken to the next level by the fan heat.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example of how when you're over, the fans can help you get to the next level.
Yep. I don't think a 10-man tag has ever had that much or will ever have that much heat. And just, I mean, it's – I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, maybe I have, but it was a smallish arena, but that crowd was just coming unglued. And you watch the entrances of every Hart Foundation member.
Yeah.
Pillman starts first and gets a pretty good reaction. I mean, like a really loud – it would be the biggest pop of any pay-per-view now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's Neidhart, which gets a big reaction. Then it's Bulldog, which gets a pretty big reaction again because, you know. And then it's Owen, and that the crowd goes nuts. And then they just start screaming before Brett even comes out.
Right.
And then it just goes through the roof.
Right, and they literally, like, throw him through the roof with their cheering.
It went through the roof of In Your House. It went in my house and out the roof.
Right.
Unbelievable. And those were, you know, everywhere but Canada, those guys were the heels. It was so well done. Because Austin was a pretty good babyface after WrestleMania, and Goldust was too, and the Road Warriors or LOD and Shamrock all have been getting good reactions, and they are booed almost out of the building.
Right.
It's so well done. It just proves that the booking had worked perfectly going into that match.
Yeah.
And you don't always have to have a world a main event. Nowadays, that match would be third from the top because they'd want to put the world title on, but they realized the world title wasn't as important, you know?
Not there, not on that night. Mm-hmm.
No, not in Calgary with, you know, five Calgary wrestlers, two from Calgary.
So they did a very smart thing. They put it on next to last.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the order of importance. This is
right. Something
they would fuck up today. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Now it would be, you know, if the same thing was going on, say the Hart Dynasty was really getting over and they were in Calgary, they'd put them third from the top and have Orton and Cena in the main event again.
Mm-hmm.
So, or we could talk about with WrestleMania 19, how people start filing out before Angle Lesnar.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because people were there for Hogan McMahon.
Right. Yes, perfect. That should have been last.
Yep, Hogan McMahon or even that's what they had been building so much. They had spent so much time building toward that match, and it just, you know, because it wasn't a world title, got put in the middle or got put toward the end.
Exactly.
So
yeah, it should have been Rock, Austin, and then Hogan, McMahon, and then that's it.
Yep.
Matches that sold that card. Now, they were smart enough to put Triple H versus Booker before both of them.
Oh, God. I have never seen such a mass exodus towards the bathroom. Match. Oh, my God. You know, being there live is too. Like, you know, I was into everything. That was my 24th birthday. It was a gift from, you know, my future wife. It was a big deal for me to be there. That was my first WrestleMania. And I had to pee, and I was holding it, and then I saw Triple H, and the match just kept going. I was like, I'm going to the bathroom. And
like
I saw
20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, I know. It was so bad. I think there was a Miller Lite Catfight girl somewhere in there, too, and it just was a bad stretch.
Yep.
But anyway,
that,
sorry. Go ahead.
That was really trash, those two things.
Yep.
And the order of the matches. How can they get that wrong? You know?
I have no idea. If you think McMahon and Hogan would even know to have that be last, it is McMahon's match. So.
But those two egos, you think they'd demand it?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man. I just remember, and for me, I just remember how worried I was about that main event. I don't know if I even enjoyed it that much because that was, you know, Angle had a bad neck going in, like a really bad one.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching thinking, don't die, don't die, don't die. he's doing belly-to-belly overheads. He's doing all these other crazy shit. I'm like, Angle, no! And then it's Lesnar who almost dies in the pay-per-view.
That's part of the reason Angle's in the shit shape he's in right now.
Yep. He should have not been in it. They could have figured out a way around it. Had Lesnar beat him before on a SmackDown, tape it, you know, or beat him up and have him vacate the title and just have that match be lower down the card and have that match later. That match did not need to take place, considering what? You were like what? Maybe a fifth the crowd started leaving?
Yeah. Is there to see? They already saw the main events.
Right. They already saw Austin Rock and Hogan McMahon.
So are you going to stick around and watch somebody kill himself and break his neck, or are you going to beat traffic, you know?
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is the one I've had the hardest time just trying to figure out which one, because that Canadian Stampede match, they could have just played the banjo in the ring for 45 minutes and the crowd would have eaten it up.
Yep.
So.
Playing banjos. Austin plays something. Boo!
In a dueling banjos match? Awesome.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dave Russo is next idea. So.
And there's spikes around the banjo for the Road Warriors. Awesome. And there's coke around the edge for Bulldog and Pillman.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the only problem I have with that now, and again, it's not that pay-per-view's fault, it's what happened after, is that Owen's dead, Pillman's dead, Bulldog's dead, Brett had a stroke, Neidhart's the only one who's in any kind of, like, functioning shape, and even then, he was a drunk and a coke addict.
Yep.
So it's just kind of depressing in hindsight, but at the time, it's still fantastic. I don't know.
Drunk, and he's out of the business, and Shamrock is an embarrassment to Ultimate Fighting, and Gold Dust is still hanging around, so he's the most functionable member of that team now.
Yep.
Looking back.
I think he's the only active one of the 10, but I guess it's been 12 years, but still.
Well, still, that's kind of weird for Gold Dust, you know, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, I know. His reign ended in, what, 99 the first time? Then he got the second run. Then he had a third run. I think he's on number 4 right now. Unbelievable. Who would have thought?
I would have never thought.
No.
If I would have had to guess, you know,
mm-hmm.
something like TNA would exist, I figure he'd be in TNA, you know?
Right. He was.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. Black Rain. Yep. God. So, I don't know.
He was bound and determined to give him a shitty gimmick.
Yep. 7-7-7-7. I hate when people spell shit with numbers.
A number in the middle.
I know. That's why we have the show numbers, we always call num threers, because that's how it's spelled.
So his ring name was like Say 7N.
S7N. That's what I say. There's a rapper, Tech Nine. I call him Tech Nininen.
That's awesome.
Because that's how it's spelled. There's a place in Portland that spells chair. Like, it's the H is a chair, so I call it the C Chair Air Outlet, because that's how it's spelled. I take things kind of literally. I don't do well with leet or the other bullshit speak. So, God, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about Russo. Ugh. Let's not get on Russo here. I don't know. What are you leaning toward here?
I'm leaning towards Stampede, because it's just a perfect example of less is more.
Right. Four matches is pretty incredible still.
I like the 2-hour pay-per-view when it's done right, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do too. It didn't always need to be, you know, 3 hours. God, I don't know. A lot of these ones now don't even need to be an hour.
So, let me spitball something for a second here.
Okay.
Well, I have a receptive audience, and those listening at home, you can just tune out for a minute if you don't give a crap. I've been thinking of a way to try to organize WWE's pay-per-views. Like, we all try to, you know, think of what we'd do if we were in control of booking and stuff.
Push Randy Orton. Yeah, continue.
But I'm not going to hire dead wrestlers and pretend they're still alive, okay? Hello? Anyway. So I was thinking, you know, you gotta, when you're fantasy booking, it has to be somewhat real. It has to have a semblance of something that would
right.
actually happen.
Right,
so
and that's what drives, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's what drives me nuts about a lot of fantasy booking. It's like, I'd like to see Austin versus Rock versus Hogan versus, you know, McMahon or whatever, or Flair.
Right.
It's like, that ain't going to happen. You know, that I agree with you totally.
Against Flair, and against Hogan, like, no.
No.
And then the rest of the card is going to be like cruiserweight matches. It's all going to be 5 stars. It's going to be wonderful. Everybody's
Cosmo Dragon versus Luthez. Go.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, no, I agree. Continue. Sorry, I just wanted to go off on a tangent there.
Oh, that's perfect. So you got to look at it from WWE's perspective. They're never going to go back to 4 to 6 pay-per-views again. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
So I was thinking of a way to work with them. How many pay-per-views do they have now? Is it like
14? I think 14 or 15.
Okay. I thought of a way where you could do 20.
All right.
You have the 4 major ones. You got Royal Rumble in January, WrestleMania in March, SummerSlam
yeah.
in August, and Survivor Series in November. So those 4 months, those are the pay-per-views you have. The other 8 months of the year, you do 2. You do a Raw one and a SmackDown one. And it just hit me right there when I was talking about 2-hour pay-per-views. That's how you do it.
Right.
You have a 2-hour Raw pay-per-view and a 2-hour SmackDown pay-per-view. And you have 2 pay-per-views a month. And guess what? You charge less. Instead of 30, maybe you charge 15 or 20.
Right. No,
but now you have 20 pay-per-views a year, so you're making more money, and the prices are going to be more palatable for people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be less room for junk.
Right.
Except for the top 4, they're only going to be 2-hour shows.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I like that. Because right now, even with 14, they've run out of ideas. fucking the next, what is it, Cyber Sunday's called Bragging Rights now. You posted the thing about Helena, or the Elimination Chamber. Whether we're going to call it Chamber of Conflict? Fuck that. Just call it No Way Out. You know, they're having so many problems that they've stolen TNA's idea for gimmick pay-per-views. And really, the only gimmick pay-per-views they should have are Rumble and Survivor Series. And maybe, you know, I still have never had a problem with King of the Ring.
No.
But, well, I mean,
be one of them. Mm-hmm.
In June, you know, where it was in June.
Sure.
Because there was a big gap between WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 or 5 months. So that's never a bad thing to have that other one in there. But, I just don't, you know, how in the hell, like with Hell in a Cell, how are they going to do three Hell in a Cell matches and make them interesting? They're not. It's, you know, I'm totally with you, because 2 hour pay-per-view, like with Canadian Stampede, you can headline with a 10-man. You don't even need to, like, throw, hell, the world title didn't even really need to be defended on there. Nobody was going to get upset if it wasn't. Because people were there to watch live, and, you know, they had built up the Stampede match or the 10-man, you know, on TV. People wanted to watch that. The Undertaker-Vader was sort of half-assedly thrown together.
Right.
So,
and again,
really,
it was an okay match, but, you know, it was never the focus, you know?
Right.
They could have Undertaker against Paul Bearer, and everyone would still think about the same of it, you know? Oh, it's all
right. Right. You know, it existed. It wasn't too bad. You know, it didn't offend me, but, yeah.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. I think that kind of idea, why can't you have a pay-per-view like SummerSlam 92, which is headlined by the Intercontinental title?
Mm-hmm.
Make that important, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just...
And I like the idea of a single brand pay-per-view, because it gives more people a chance to get a pay-per-view payout.
Right. Well, and that's what I liked about before they went to these tri-branded shit again, what, no, 506,
yeah,
somewhere in there. I loved the different brands, because you got to see, like, you know, Kendrick in London in 2003 get on a pay-per-view. You got to see, you know, Chuck Palumbo. I mean, you got to see different guys. It wasn't always good, but you got to see a variety. Guys that, you know, would never in a million years get a pay-per-view now. You know, it's hard enough getting...
Wrestling shouldn't always be good.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were talking about WrestleMania 3, you make one good main event, problem is they aren't even doing that anymore, you can do the card, you can just, you know, it doesn't even always have to be a world title, you can just do a card that's just, you know, you build one match and put a couple on there that are meaningful but don't have to be as meaningful, and just go. And give an hour, you know, give an hour to the main event like it did on this one almost, basically.
Yeah.
The entrances alone are 15 minutes.
Right, exactly, because they do everyone individually. So
mm-hmm.
It takes forever. But it doesn't feel like forever. You get in the crowd, you know, it's like, what?
Right. Well, and that's when they did another thing, not to go on up and rant now, but, like, now there's no hometown pride. You don't associate a guy with some place as much as you used to. You know, nobody really associates Cena with Boston or whatever, or Orton with St. Louis, like you did the Harts with Calgary,
mm-hmm,
or Austin with Texas or whatever.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have a card like this where it's just all about, you know, it wasn't even city pride, it wasn't even province pride, it's country pride, you know?
Yeah.
They're proud of Canada, and this whole angle was... We're heels everywhere else. Screw America, or we're heels in America, but we're baby faces everywhere else. So screw America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done. I don't think anything that complex could ever be done today.
No, really couldn't.
So
there's that sidetrack there. I have
yeah
for audio. So
yep.
So I'm going with Stampede, I think.
I think I am too, even though WrestleMania was the only WrestleMania I was at. And like I said, it was my 24th birthday too, so it was a big deal. But I just, like I said, I get goosebumps watching the main event of Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
I don't really get any kind of big match feel from. I liked Austin McMahon and Rock near Foley, or use your words, Jordan. Hogan McMahon and Austin Rock and everything okay, but it's not like 17 or 3. Plus, I also don't want three WrestleManias of the last four.
Now,
then,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
A little foreshadowing here. Who do you think is going to win?
Ooh, I think it's okay.
Who wants to win? If it's not,
I'm going to go with 17. I really think that's my favorite pay-per-view the whole way through. That keeps my interest. I don't do a whole lot of fast-forwarding or, you know, skip that match. I generally have enough to – it has enough to keep me through. Because this isn't the greatest match of all time thing. It's the greatest pay-per-view. I think – say that again?
Is best match next? Is that what we're doing next?
I think so. Maybe, yeah, we'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll do an audio about that, too, so.
Yes. No, yeah, it's just, I think from as total card as matches that keep me entertained, I think 17. How about you?
Okay, yeah, I'm probably going to say 17. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it has a little bit of everything for everybody, and it's really done just right, and I really can't think of any way to beat it.
No, I can't either. And again, it's got the spectacle because of the sea of humanity again in the Astrodome. I think that's probably what is going to win and what should win.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I wouldn't really have a problem with any of the other four or the other three we mentioned, I guess. Any of the four, I should say.
Yeah, and it's just going to come down to, you know, the voters, what they think, and the individual matchups that they get. So
right.
It's hard to say, but I think 17 deserves to win. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And Heyman's underrated on that commentary, too. I think Heyman and Ross, I like their interplay. You can tell there's genuine dislike there, which makes for great audio.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Imagine Heyman and Cornette calling a show together.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, man. I know. Somebody's walking off after about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Well, any closing thoughts here before we wrap up this this turd burglar?
This has been fun. I like going through this and kind of trying to. It's kind of helped me make up my mind on a couple of these things.
It's always good to talk it out. You know, think it out.
Right. Because I could. I mean, I needed your help on two of them definitely. So, not that I couldn't make up my own mind, but you kind of brought up some good points. So.
All right. Well. The only other thing then would be Matt Hardy. Is he a giant douche or a turd sandwich?
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that at the beginning of WrestleMania 19, his match against Rey. That was going to be my segue into your.
Ripping on him, he's a giant douche.
That was going to be my perfect segue, is because people were really, that was the V1, Matt Hardy at its biggest, and which is half as big as. Jeff's ever been, or will it, or you know, or no. Yeah. So, and they gave it what, 6 minutes, because they thought so little of of Matt. Yeah, go.
Waste of time. Get out of wrestling, dude. You suck.
Matty Jannetty. Yep. God. Yeah, we should go on a state of things rant.
Yeah, I think that's the next one that you and I'll do.
Okay. Yep. I agree. I think we can both hit some points that we want to get off our chest.
So that will come within a week we'll do that?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Okay.
I'm sure either before or after Hell in a Cell.
There we go.
So.
Look out for that, people. That'll be the next audio me and Jordan do. There might be one with Kevin and or Eric or some combination therein. In between, so we're going to rock the audio, you know, coast And but yeah, I think that would best caps off the pay-per-view one, wouldn't you say?
Yep, I agree.
All right, then give it an old sign-off then, Jordan.
All right, well, thank you very much. I'm glad we got to do this. Go to the board and vote on it.
Yeah.
You know, prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. Prove me right. Either one. I don't give a damn. Just go to the board and vote.
Yep. And like I said, I'm going to put another link to our message board on the most recent post I made. So there's no excuse. You know the web address, the URL, I guess, and register. Now, do it.
Yeah, it takes like a minute to register. Just pick a name. Just go with it. You don't even have to pick an avatar or any other stupid shit.
Right, right.
Just pick a name and vote.
And if you can't think of a message board screen name, email me and I'll give you one.
We've got lots.
Dusty13@gmail.com. I will give you one and I'll throw one out there right now. You can take my messenger screen name, Unicorn Shambo. First person to sign up wins a prize. All right.
Wins your undying affection.
Exactly. And a check that is guaranteed to bounce. With her name on it, my friend. So,
awesome.
George Smith, I am Dusty Giebink. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We will attempt to do better next time.